In India, a 19-year-old Muslim woman who watched a Hindu mob kill her father and several others says she retracted her testimony under oath because of threats from Hindu politicians. Lacking her eyewitness testimony, a court in the western Indian state of Gujarat acquitted 21 men of the killings, which took place during a Hindu rampage in the state last year. More than 1,000 Muslims were killed in the worst communal violence in India in more than a decade. The rampage was triggered by an earlier attack on a train filled with Hindu pilgrims. There are now demands for the 21 accused to be retried. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports.
Zahira Sheikh says she didn't think twice when her father moved their Muslim family into a largely Hindu neighborhood in Vadodara 2 years ago. 19-year-old Zahira, a slight woman in a black salwar and headscarf, says her Hindu neighbors were regular customers at her father's bakery and describes relations with her neighbors back then as cordial. Then came the burning of the train in Godhra. 2 days later, on March 1st, Zahira Sheikh's nightmare began. A Hindu mob of about 200 surrounded the bakery and her home. Terrified, she fled to the roof and watched. The mob began looting the bakery and set it on fire. Then they turned their attention to the house, using swords and steel pipes to attack those trapped downstairs.
They poured gasoline on some of the women and then burned them alive. Then they caught my uncle Kausar as he tried to get away. They also grabbed a boy named Lula, who had only one hand. Then they started hacking at him and my uncle with swords. Then they burned them, too.
The killing continued throughout the night. Zahira says her family members made repeated calls to the police, but no one came, and the mob refused to leave.
We pleaded with them, asking them to let us be. We asked them what we were guilty of, and they said, "Your Muslim brothers burnt the Godhra train. We will not leave you alive. We've already burnt 9 of you, and we will kill you too."
At around 10 the next morning, the mob agreed to let those upstairs come down. The leaders separated the men from the women and took the women to a nearby field, where they were told they would be raped, then burned like the rest. At that point, the police arrived, and the attackers fled. In all, 14 people were killed, including several children, and 3 Hindu employees of the bakery caught inside when the mob arrived. Zahira says it wasn't hard to identify the killers. They were all, she says, from the neighborhood.
Jayanti Chaiwala, Mofatia, Munna, Mahendra Langda, Harish, Dinesh Bakeriwala, Sana, Jagdish.
Mofatia, Munna, Mahendra the Lame, Harish, Dinesh the Bakery Man, Sana, Jagdish, I know all of them, and I saw what they did.
Zahira and her brother gave statements to the police identifying those responsible, despite warnings from neighbors, Hindus and Muslims, to let the matter drop. 21 men were charged for taking part in the killing. Their trial began a few months ago. Zahira and her brother were scheduled to testify in May. It was then, she says, that the threats began in earnest from 2 local Hindu politicians. They urged Zahira and her brother to change their testimony or else. When her brother finally took the stand, he heeded the politicians' warnings. Zahira's testimony was scheduled for 2 weeks later, and even though her brother had given in, Zahira said she was still determined to tell the truth.
He used to tell my mother to make me understand that they would kill me. He would tell my mother, "Zahira is fighting to convict them, but she doesn't realize that we could lose our lives if she gives her testimony."
As the date for Zahira's testimony grew closer and the warnings more frequent, she began to have doubts. Those doubts were exacerbated, she says, by the fact that the prosecutor, appointed by the state, had never even bothered to meet his star witness. The turning point, she says, came when she entered the courthouse and was met by one of the local politicians who offered a final warning.
He told me, "Zahira, think carefully about what you're about to do, because we have bribed the police, we have bribed the lawyers, and we have even bribed the judge." At that time, I was very frightened, because there was not a single Muslim in the courtroom to give me moral support. Then I went to the witness box. Everyone was glaring at me, and I was very scared. I thought, what should I do? should I give my testimony or save my family members' lives? So I decided to retract my statement.
Sahira says she now regrets having done so. Neither the judge nor the prosecutor asked her why she changed her mind. Soon after, the prosecutor's case, such as it was, fell apart. After Zahira turned hostile, more than 30 other witnesses did too. 2 weeks ago, all 21 of the accused went free. The two Hindu politicians deny making any threats. The judge and the prosecutor aren't talking. And justice for other Muslim victims of the carnage in Gujarat seems as elusive as ever. Teesta Sedavald is with Citizens for Justice and Peace, a Bombay-based human rights group which has now moved Zahira Sheikh and her brother away from Gujarat.
You have to be in Gujarat to understand the atmosphere there. Imagine a victim who's actually gone through and lost their lives. There is no conducive atmosphere even in the Gujarat High Court today. You get the feeling that judges are terrified. I cannot say more than this because I'll be hauled up for contempt. But it is a very unnatural situation that prevails in the state of Gujarat.
According to Human Rights Watch, it's a situation in which more than 100 Muslims have been charged under the Prevention of Terrorism Act for their alleged involvement in the attack on the train carrying Hindu pilgrims in Godhra. But not a single Hindu has been charged under the act for the violence against Muslims that followed. Meanwhile, Zahira and her brother remain in hiding as their supporters try to decide whether to ask that the case be retried outside Gujarat or appeal the verdict to the Supreme Court. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Bombay.